The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
Are you unhappy with your health and catch everything doing the rounds? Do you have a mystery illness the doctors can't treat? Are you searching for a better way to manage your health? My name is Kevin Davis. Our bioresonance system starts with an automated full body scan. It's simply the quickest way to shine a light on what's going on inside, with treatments during the same session. For the latest health tech at the best price, visit biohealthtech.co.uk today and make us your first choice for a healthier you.
Hello and welcome to the Yes to Life show, a weekly program about integrative medicine and cancer. I'm Robin Daly, chairman and founder of UK charity Yes to Life, that helps people with cancer understand and use integrative medicine to regain their well-being. Vitamin C has been a mainstay of integrative medicine for cancer for a very long time, for reasons that are now beginning to be appreciated more widely. A recent development has been the creation of liposomal vitamin C, a new form that has some advantages over the more traditional intravenous treatment. My guest today is Jonathan Orchard, Director of Abundance and Health, one of the original UK manufacturers of liposomal vitamin C. I'm talking to Jonathan over Skype.
Hello, Jonathan. Good to have you on the Yes to Life show.
Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about vitamin C quite a bit today, and liposomal vitamin C in particular, which has been included in lots of discussions on the Yes to Life show. But it's the first time that I've actually done a show devoted to the subject, which is a very important one, since in cancer, I think vitamin C is one of the most commonly used supplements.
Yeah.
So there's always a danger of getting a bit technical when talking about the mechanics of any kind of nutritional intervention. So I would like to go slowly and try to tease out the kind of plain English version of any technical points as we go along. The first thing I'd like to ask you is a bit of a general question. There's been a lot of research in recent years around vitamin C, and particularly around vitamin C and cancer. So why do you think interest in vitamin C has been maintained against all the odds right back since Linus Pauling's experiments in the 1970s?
That's a very good question. I think it's because I think there's several reasons. Partly because of Linus Pauling himself. And vitamin C is incredibly safe. I think this is one of the beauties of vitamin C is it is an extraordinarily safe substance. I believe that it's effectively as safe as water.
Really?
Unless you have certain genetic conditions, you effectively can't really overdose on vitamin C. You'll just get gastrointestinal distress and so on, and your body will just eliminate the excess. So you've got a very, very safe substance that, in people's consciousness, people are very comfortable with vitamin C. I think they have a good relationship with it.
Okay.
If you talk to the average person about vitamin C, they go, "Oh yes, I love it. I know it, and I know it works, and I know it's safe." So if you talk about other substances to the general population, like glutathione, you know, they will generally look very confused and be quite suspicious. And it's very difficult to explain why it might be a useful substance. But vitamin C, I think people have a very comfortable relationship with it. It's extremely safe. And then the next part of it is that it's working. So we've got these many, many anecdotal stories and evidence, and from doctors that have been using it with success. So I think it's been speaking for itself. And when you have something that is safe and does have a clear benefit, then it's going to stay alive. It's a couple of the reasons why. You know, it works and it's safe.
Okay.
And it's cheap.
And it's cheap. Yes, that's right. Okay, well, look, I'm quite interested to know a little bit about your background, how you've got to where you are now. You've got a particular interest in vitamin C. Why is that?
Well, my journey in health started probably about 30 years ago in Chinese medicine, which I'm absolutely passionate about. And my background before that was in science. I studied material science. So I spend a lot of time looking down electron microscopes. So a very scientific background. And I found that Chinese medicine kind of bridged that gap between science and the more holistic side of things. It's very empirical. There's a lot of actual science in it, if you understand the Chinese medical language. And in clinic, I'm just being you looking what works, what will actually work in practice that is safe and easy that my clients can use. So always researching a great deal, looking at particularly always loving nutrition and the use of vitamins and minerals. And I had a client come in one day with hepatitis C. Mm-hmm. This is about 12 years ago. And I just started Googling, what can I do? What can we do to help her? There must be some things out there that are safe and available that are going to support her. And through that research, I came across Dr. Klenner's work on high-dose vitamin C, and particularly Dr. Levy speaking about it, and it literally blew my mind. I couldn't believe what I was hearing, that, you know, by that stage, after nearly 15-plus years in the natural healing field, I had never, ever once heard about high-dose vitamin C and what vitamin C can do across a whole range of conditions. And I was actually stunned, and I spent, I think, about the next 3 months pretty much doing nothing but reading about vitamin C, everything I could find, every lecture I could listen to, books I could read. Because, you know, I don't have any particular affiliations in terms of what medicines to use, as long as they say they're safe and they work. So if it's Western medicine, I love Western medicine. I'm a huge fan of Western medicines where it's safe and effective and it's actually doing its job. Love it. Right. Huge respect for the medical community. So, you know, I don't care what people use, whatever modality is going to get people better and help on that journey to health, and which I think is, you know, multifaceted. It's not usually one thing. It's usually a combination of approaches. So it's just the information I was coming across about high dose vitamin C. I just thought was quite staggering. And it was then eventually I came across Dr. Levy's statement where he was saying that in his opinion, 1 gram of liposomal vitamin C had at least the same effect as 10 grams of intravenous vitamin C. You know, that was it. It was kind of like a lightning bolt moment, because I'd been researching, looking into intravenous vitamin C form for patients, and obviously very few people do it. It's difficult to access, it's expensive, and it's time consuming. So it's not that practical. So when I heard Dr. Levy, who is the sort of the vitamin C guru, so to speak, making that statement, it's like, this is probably one of the most important developments in nutrient delivery that I've come across in my entire career. So that was my introduction to vitamin C, and been absolutely passionate about it, obviously, ever since, as a kind of simple addition to people's whatever protocols they're on for whatever, you know, health conditions they're maybe struggling with.
Okay, well, look, that leads us very nicely into what I'd like to ask next, which is, I want to now distinguish between regular vitamin C that people will know either in pill or powder form, and liposomal vitamin C, an altogether much more goopy substance. What does liposomal actually mean?
So a liposome, it was actually, I believe, a drug delivery, was a patented drug delivery method where the water-soluble either drug or nutrient is encapsulated by various processes in a a lipid bilayer. And a lipid bilayer is essentially exactly what our cell membranes are. And it's made from phospholipids. So they primarily use something called phosphatidylcholine, which many people that are health conscious, they might buy lecithin and use lecithin in their diet because it's high in phospholipids. And phospholipids are very important for our general health, for brain health, liver function, cellular integrity. It has many, many benefits in its own right.
Okay.
So when you combine a nutrient with the phosphatidylcholine, you basically create tiny cells, and they're usually of the range around 300 nanometers in size. So basically a cell on the outside, phospholipid bilayer, which the body recognizes as a nutrient. Inside is the vitamin C or the alpha-lipoic acid or the drug, whatever it is that's being delivered.
Okay.
And so those little cells, when you ingest them, they're protected from the digestive process. They don't get digested, so they stay intact. And then, because of the size of them, they're actually going to be absorbed directly through the small intestine into the bloodstream, into the lymphatic system. And then those little cells of phospholipid and vitamin C will then be able to go directly into the cells and deliver the vitamin C and deliver the phospholipid. So the cells are getting both these very important nutrients in a very, very efficient way. And the body doesn't need to process the vitamin C. So usually when you take ascorbic acid or sodium ascorbate, it will actually have to be processed by the liver before it's really available into the cells. Right. So
that would be the powdered or the pill form of vitamin C.
Yes, it will. And and the powdered pill form, they reckon if you take a very small amount, like 50 milligrams, then your body will actually utilize most of that. When you get up to higher doses, like a gram of normal vitamin C, then you're only going to actually utilize about maybe around 16% of that, and the rest will be eliminated.
Right.
So using high dose vitamin C with normal ascorbates, there's an upper limit that you can reach quite quickly, where you become saturated and you get diarrhea, basically.
Yeah.
You can't take any more, so rather uncomfortable and sort of still useful. I mean, I don't, you know, if there's nothing else around, then, you know, spacing out normal vitamin C can be, you know, very, very helpful.
Right.
But certainly it's relatively inefficient.
Yeah. So this, the liposomes then are kind of Trojan horse. It's a way of getting stuff into cells, which it can be anything that gets delivered. In fact, as you're saying, it could be a drug as well. But it allows it to not be destroyed on the way, get into the bloodstream and make its way right where you want it in the cells.
That's right, yes. Yeah. So it's it also has a longer half-life in the blood as well. So it's kind of sustained release as well. So it hangs around longer, mm-hmm. and it's delivering it directly into the cells itself. And also there doesn't really seem to be a particular upper limit in terms of how much you can ingest. I've certainly done over 20 sachets in a day with absolutely no GI upset whatsoever, and I know of some people that have done over I think 30 a day.
30 a day, wow.
That's a lot. I wouldn't recommend.
No.
I'm not recommending that.
No,
but that was just to show that the body was able to process and deal with that amount of the vitamin C with no GI upset whatsoever.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I mean, I've used it myself, and certainly 4 or 5, no noticeable effect at all. Okay, so at this point we can talk about there being a kind of traditional way of using vitamin C that has been used to help people with cancer. It's been around for quite a few decades now. Can you tell us about high dose intravenous vitamin C, what it looks like, what it does, and what the process is like?
I can tell you a certain amount because I'm, in terms of my level of knowledge, I'm sort of a generalist, so I can go to a certain depth and then it's then I'm out of my depth.
That's fine.
But generally, my understanding is that when you're using high dose vitamin C, it's actually you're not using it as an antioxidant. You're using it as a pro-oxidant. So there's a point where when you have over a certain level of vitamin C in the bloodstream, in the plasma, then the vitamin C is going to, they call it the Fenton reaction, I believe, and it's a very, very well-known, straightforward biochemistry. And vitamin C will react with excess iron or iron and copper in cells to produce hydrogen peroxide. And hydrogen peroxide is one of the most reactive molecules there is.
Mm.
And the hydrogen peroxide will then pretty much kill any cell that it comes in contact with. Now, our healthy cells have an enzyme in called catalase, and catalase is the enzyme that deactivates the hydrogen peroxide. So if you have hydrogen peroxide being created in healthy cells, the catalase is going to disarm that and protect the healthy cell. I believe that cancer cells lack the enzyme catalase or have a very little of it. So they're very, very, or much more susceptible to oxidative stress than, right, than normal cells. So effectively, the vitamin C is oxidizing, is preferentially creating oxidative stress in the cancer cells and causing them to die. So that's my kind of general understanding of the mechanism.
Okay, can I just go back over one point about it? You started off by saying, okay, in the doses that it's used in cancer, it's being used as a pro-oxidant, whereas most people who are taking it on a daily basis as a supplement, it's talked about as an antioxidant. Can you just say a little bit more about what that really means? Because that's not necessarily something everybody's familiar with.
So the vitamin C in the lower doses, it's going to go around and mop up oxidative stress and inflammation. It's going to reduce oxidation in the body when it's at a lower level.
Right.
I believe, and I, you know, this is, I'd have to defer to other people, but I believe that actually it's a little more complicated, that vitamin C can be acting as both within the body. So it can be acting as an antioxidant and a pro-oxidant at the same time in different places. So if you're taking high doses of vitamin C, it's not that you've suddenly gone into oxidation. You will actually be doing both, which is my understanding.
Okay.
So you will still be having an antioxidant effect, and in certain places it will be having the pro-oxidant effect. So it's not that straightforward.
But things are never that simple, are they?
But when it comes to not just cancer, but other disease mechanisms, the vitamin C is actually having this, in a way, bipolar effect.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of the benefit, people might say, you know, they might focus in on the pro-oxidant effect, the Fenton reaction, and how it's killing cancer cells through that mechanism. But another, probably maybe equally important part is how vitamin C benefits the immune system. So, for instance, vitamin C enhances antibody production. It improves the function of macrophages and phagocytic white blood cells. It increases interferon production, and it increases the proliferation of normal T lymphocytes while suppressing the proliferation of malignant T lymphocytes. It's hard to say that.
Yeah.
So it's boosting your immune system on one side. It's reducing oxidative stress where there may be oxidative stress in the system and inflammation, but actually then directly in the cells, in the cancer cells, when you have a high enough dose, it's actually creating the hydrogen peroxide and having that pro-oxidant effect.
So at that point, it is actually something that's a pro-oxidant is actually breaking things down. Oxidation in the body is a direct parallel with like oxidation that we know about on a piece of iron. When it goes rusty, it actually is breaking down. And so in the body, it's the same thing. And if you can get this oxidation to happen where the cancer cells are, then they are what is breaking down.
Exactly. And I believe that's, it's exactly the same mechanism for many of the chemotherapy. Some of the chemotherapy drugs are basically doing the same thing.
I see. Right.
Creating hydrogen peroxide. So,
okay. So now on to liposomal vitamin C. So this has also been around for a little while now. How long ago was it first developed?
I would say it's probably been around 15 years or so.
Right.
I came to it around 12 years ago. It's been around before that. I'm not sure exactly where it started, but initially these products are very difficult to make. They're not as straightforward as the internet would have you believe.
Okay.
If people go and search making liposomes on YouTube, you'll see people doing homemade liposomes. The technique is effectively, it's correct in the sense that you need a high energy process. So if you use an ultrasonic bath, that can work. But it certainly doesn't mean you're creating stable liposomes that are going to last or many of them. So Les Matchman, who was the founder of the company, his story was he was dealing with chronic heart failure and was using intravenous vitamin C to great benefit.
Mm.
And through his contacts, they were actually making liposomal vitamin C, and he's using that because it's much more convenient. And he fully recovered. He's an amazing man. He's still around today, fighting fit. And it was his idea to then take this product and start manufacturing it for the consumers and marketing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's probably around 15, 13 years or so that it's been commercially available.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before the show, you shared with me the results of a recent trial to directly measure the uptake of vitamin C by both cells and plasma. So I want to pick the results apart a bit if we can. This was a small trial and it pointed to some interesting understandings that reflect the narrative of liposomal vitamin C that we've had up to now. Well, first of all, maybe you could just describe the trial. What was being measured and why?
Yeah, so what they're looking at is to try and look at, understand the mechanisms of liposomal vitamin C, how it's working in the body, which is actually very difficult to measure because the liposomes are unstable in the body. They're being used in ways that we don't necessarily understand properly. So doing some of these measurements aren't easy to make the comparison between liposomal vitamin C and normal vitamin C. However, they wanted to look at, they wanted to compare the liposomal vitamin C with normal vitamin C and look at the effect it's having in the white blood cells. So
okay. So from what I see, there are like three variables at work. So you've got two forms of vitamin C, and you've also got hydrocortisone being used. So leaving that hydrocortisone element aside for the moment, can you tell us what the trial showed about the cellular uptake in powdered and in liposomal vitamin C?
So what it showed was that the average maximum increase in the concentrations of vitamin C in the cells was actually the same for both formulations, but the liposomal ascorbate was had a faster intake by the cells, and that the area under the curve there was 50% larger for the liposomal formulation.
Which means what?
The
fact that it was larger.
So the area under the curve shows that it was it was around for longer, it was used more, it had a greater impact into the cells than the normal vitamin C.
Okay. So effectively, it has a longer life in the cell and therefore has a chance to have more effect.
Yes. So this is one of the things that it's showing that there's a real advantage of the liposome over normal vitamin C.
Yes.
But it's not necessarily showing the degree of the advantage because those mechanisms are so difficult to actually see and measure because you effectively can't. So the takeaway is that it's around for longer, and it's delivering more vitamin C into the body.
Mm-hmm. So potentially, in theory, it should be better at doing the job that people are hoping it's going to do. So, but that it doesn't prove that, of course. So I want to now ask about the hydrocortisone. Firstly, what is it and what's it generally being used for?
Hydrocortisone is a steroid, and I think it's being used to enhance the vitamin C intake generally. It was used in the sepsis study, and I wonder if it comes from that with Dr. Marek. He published a retrospective clinical study in 2017 looking at the use of intravenous vitamin C, hydrocortisone and thiamine to treat sepsis.
Yeah.
And what they showed, they had 47 in each group, 47 people. So in the group, the control group that received standard care treatment for sepsis, the mortality rate was 40.4%.
All right.
Which was 19 people of the 47 people passed away.
Okay.
In the standard of care. And the group that received the intravenous vitamin C and hydrocortisone, the mortality was 8.5%. So only four of them out of the 47 died, which was obviously extremely
huge
significant.
Difference. Yeah, very significant.
Huge difference. Mm. And just showing just how effective intravenous vitamin C can be for acute infections, which is of course what Linus Pauling and others were saying many, many years.
Right.
So that's very, very exciting there. And I think that's probably where the use of the hydrocortisone for this study came in.
I see.
I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, I was interested to know why anybody thought of combining the two, but I think you've given maybe the reason it happened. So hydrocortisone, a steroid, is generally being used in orthodox medicine as an anti-inflammatory.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the combination here is an anti-inflammatory with the vitamin C. That's the kind of mix that they're looking at.
Yes, but I think, again, I don't understand enough myself, but I think there may be a mechanism where the hydrocortisone itself, rather than being used as an anti-inflammatory, it's being used to assist with the absorption of vitamin C. So I think it's probably more for that reason rather than the anti-inflammatory effect.
Okay. All right. So what were the findings of combining hydrocortisone with liposomal vitamin C in this recent trial?
Yes, so what they found was that when you do add the hydrocortisone in, it does actually increase the uptake of the vitamin C, whether that's the ascorbic acid or liposomal. So it increases the maximum concentration, and it also increases the amount of time that it's in the body. So the half-life of the vitamin C is extended in the body quite significantly. So hydrocortisone does certainly seem to be useful for enhancing the activity and the duration of vitamin C in the body.
Well, that's quite an important finding, isn't it, really, for the considering that vitamin C is already quite a useful approach for people with cancer. That could be a very useful extra piece of information.
Yes, I think so. I think that's something that would be very useful to be further explored and to see how that the synergy of those two could be used, whether particularly in relation to cancer, because people may be able to reduce reduce the doses of vitamin C, or they could use the same doses and actually maybe there would be an enhanced benefit to the combination of the two in relation to cancer. So that would be some very interesting research for some people to do.
So I mentioned at the outset that interest has been maintained in vitamin C against the odds. And indeed, I recently interviewed Dr. Joseph Cullen at the University of Iowa about his stunning results of combining vitamin C with standard therapy for pancreatic cancer. So pancreatic cancer, as most people know, is one of the most aggressive and uniformly fatal cancers. But just adding the vitamin C doubled people's life expectancy. So extraordinary result. And I've kind of noticed that this type of trial, where a natural approach is added into a conventional one, can produce some results that often exceed the potential of either of them alone. You know, it's a kind of sum is greater than the parts situation. And, you know, to me, this is really what integration is about, is exploring this territory. Do you think we're going to see more movement in this direction?
That's a good question. I think I do. I'm hopeful that this will happen. And I think the reason is not because there's a willingness necessarily on the part of the mainstream. I think it's because of the internet and the sort of underground network of information sharing that is bringing this kind of information to people that previously, you know, would simply not be available. People would not know. So I think the fact that we now don't rely on the usual channels of, you know, what is the best practice, what's true and not true, I think that's inevitably going to allow these combined trials to develop and flourish, because the results are so stunning, and you know they can't be ignored. You know, people have to sit up and listen, and researchers, you know, I believe that you know, most people are genuinely good and want to help, and when they see these kind of results, they sit up and listen, and you see and hear these kind of this kind of information coming along, and eventually bit by bit it permeates and becomes more accepted. And I think it is the case that it's just a slow process, like anything, to get the mainstream to start to be interested and to listen. I think it's a slower process, and probably because of the nature of some of these more natural approaches, that they aren't patentable, that the research will probably have to come more through universities and public funding. So I do have great hope, and I think, you know, there is so much work being done by people around the world on combined approaches, on all sorts of different approaches that are providing results. And I think we're just going to hear more and more and more and more about that, and there'll be a tipping point, hopefully. It might still be a good few years off, but I think that's the course we're on. That's my hope. Okay.
Well, no, I think you're right. And, I mean, it's been a good example is the trial that I just talked about with Dr. Joseph Cullen. That's at a university, and the funding has come from government, basically. He's just got another $10 million to spend on doing some more. I mean, that's where it should come from. It's great. I mean, if it's not a good business model, it's never going to come from business. But if it's going to help people to get well, then, well, it's got to come from government and central public sources, obviously. So it's quite heartening to see that that is happening. And, I hope for a lot more will. We focused on vitamin C in this talk so far, and for good reasons, but the principle of delivering natural substances liposomally is something that's gaining ground across the board, and as we've already pointed out, it can deliver all sorts of things. Do you want to say a little bit about what else is available in liposomal form and what it's being used for?
Well, there's all sorts of things coming out liposomally, you know, which we're really, in a way, really pleased and flattered by. We were the sort of first people to bring liposome encapsulation to Europe to get people to know about. And so the technique is being used for various herbs, cannabidiol. I mean, pretty much you name it, there's people out there that are producing liposomes.
Right.
How effective they are, you know, how much better those things are in that form is obviously questionable. We need to have, you know, I am a great believer in doing as much, you know, science and research to actually look at mechanisms to find out how things are actually working.
Yes.
So we do now have a whole range of things out there that are liposome encapsulated. And I think, you know, the technology is phenomenal, and the potential of it is wonderful. And it's so new still, relatively, that we don't really know what it can do.
Yeah.
We actually still don't really understand fully the mechanisms in the body, all the different things it's doing, that give it this benefit over just taking nutrients in normal forms. So I think there's still a lot of discovery in what they can do, how to use them, which are the best things to use, which ones you don't need to use, because, you know, honestly, you don't need to take everything in
right.
liposomal form. There's many things you can just take normally, and you're maybe paying extra money, and you could do just as well with it in normal form. So there's still lots to understand.
Yes.
And discover.
Okay, but the things you think are showing benefit, for, as far as you can tell.
Well, we certainly, you know, ourselves, we have the sort of major antioxidants, as in glutathione, which is, again, traditionally difficult, or is proven difficult, to get into the body through the digestive system. So glutathione is a very good antioxidant to use liposomally. Alpha-lipoic acid as well. So you get the time release element, you're getting the cellular delivery. And both of those, in my own experience, because I try, you know, I'm one of these people, I will try everything. I want to see what happens to
right.
me. How do these things make me feel? And that was actually one of the things that really struck me when I first used just the liposomal vitamin C, was it had, you know, really quite a big impact. It was very, very noticeable how much better I felt. And this is someone who spends a lot of time looking after my health, taking all sorts of supplements, eating very well. So I'm a fit and healthy person generally, and I, you know, I try many things that people will say will do you a lot of good. Now, some of them may be doing me a lot of good, but I wouldn't necessarily notice it.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I just feel the same. But it's like, well, in the long run, maybe this is really helping me. But certainly with the liposomal vitamin C, it was one of the most impactful things I probably ever tried. It was quite extraordinary. And the same then, I remember when I took the glutathione and alpha-lipoic acid, when they first arrived, I took them in the afternoon. And with both of them, I didn't sleep all night long. I still felt fine the next day. And again, it was just, it's obviously anecdotal, but I'm a great fan of people experiencing and experimenting and finding out what works for them, because we are all different. And there's
yes.
some things that will be very beneficial for some people and maybe moderately beneficial for others and not so for others. So, you know, I really do believe in being skeptical, being very open to try things and to research, and then to see through your own experience what the benefits are for you personally, and to have that relationship with your own inner wisdom, or your body's signals telling you what's good for you, what isn't. and also, you know, how to use all these different things. So yes, so there's the glutathione alpha-lipoic acid. We have a multivitamin, B vitamin in liposomal form. Acetyl L-carnitine, which is very interesting. Possibly, so that may well be of use actually within the cancer world because of its ability to help us to metabolize fatty acids. So for anyone doing a ketogenic diet, which I'm also a huge proponent for, I've been ketogenic for over 2 years now, and I think it's one of the biggest impacts on my health, and certainly the clients that I've had that have actually been able to properly implement it. It's been quite staggering. So the acetyl L-carnitine helps us to become keto adapted. It helps us to metabolize the fatty acids more efficiently, and it's also the form that will cross into the brain and help to metabolize the ketones in the brain. So that could be a very useful amino acid in liposomal form for people that are on the ketogenic diet.
Interesting. Well, so yeah, great. Thanks for that. Yeah. Okay. So obviously we focus our attention on what's particularly of interest to those with cancer in this show. But what do you want to just quickly tell us about some of the other news from the worlds of places like sport and beauty? Because I know that lots of people are taking an interest in these liposomal products.
Well, yeah. So the beauty world was something we came into out of necessity. You know, we're as a company, we're not allowed to make any health claims, as we all know, apart from the general ones that vitamin C can help and maintain your general health and so on and so on.
Yeah.
So we decided what we were noticing, and I noticed this, and my sister, she was sort of, I guess, about 48 at the time, and her friends were asking her, "Are you having Botox?"
Yeah.
She said, "No, I'm just having one of these vitamin C a day." And I noticed very clearly a profound change in my skin health, not that it's something I'm particularly concerned about. So we went and did a placebo-controlled double-blind trial on the vitamin C and the effect it has on the skin firmness.
Mm-hmm.
And what we saw was a staggering 61% increase in skin firmness after 12 weeks if you take three a day over the whole body. And if you just did one a day, it was 35%, which is, you know, the skin is the biggest organ in the body, and the skin health is a reflection of the organ health. So a very, very significant impact on skin. And what was sort of interesting is if you talk to people about the health benefits of vitamin C, you know, people are maybe reasonably interested. Some will just glaze over.
Right.
But if you tell them about the beauty and skin benefits, people are like, "Well, where can I get this?"
So you're right.
People are actually much more motivated, unfortunately, in my opinion anyway, by beauty over health. But I think that is because beauty is probably consciously, subconsciously a marker for health. So,
okay, yeah.
You know.
Fair enough.
I think there's something there. Mm. And anecdotally, we had our arterial flexibility measured at a conference a few years ago, myself and my two business partners. And the arterial flexibility, I believe, is a better marker for sort of cardiac health than, say, blood pressure. And I had the best reading the gentleman had seen in over 20,000 readings.
Wow.
He then did my brother, whose reading was actually better than mine.
Yeah.
And then my other business partner, he had the same. So we effectively all had the arterial flexibility of teenagers.
Record breakers.
And we're all sort of well in our late 40s. And so that was showing that the skin firming effect that we were seeing externally in the collagen was actually happening internally in the connective tissues, the arteries and veins. And that's actually a study we'd love to do. So that's been, as a way of marketing, you know, it's been a wonderful tool, that sort of beauty study. And then behind that, you know, what we'd love to do is to get out more education about you know, the other benefits of vitamin C. So, I think it's an easy way to introduce vitamin C to people, and hopefully then they'll dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
From that.
Well, considering the statistics for cardiovascular problems and the major impact it's having on people's lives, that could be incredibly important information, couldn't it?
Yes, it could be. It's it's a fascinating area. One of Dr. Levy's books is, I believe, it's called America's Number One Killer, and it's all about how to use high dose vitamin C and lysine, which is an amino acid, to help with cardiac health, and some very, very interesting information there, very interesting studies on that. And I believe that was backed up by Professor Sidney Bush when he did his retinopathy, I can't remember the name of it, but basically you're looking at the back of the eyes, which is well known, looking at the arteries at the back of the eyes, and,
yes.
And he saw and measured the improvement in the arterial health of the eyes before and after high dose vitamin C, and saw clearly the plaques in the arteries resolving with the high dose vitamin C and lysine. So another fascinating area to look at. So that, I think that's the, you know, Dr. Levy says it very well in the name of his book, which I highly recommend to anyone listening to this. If you want to know more about high dose vitamin C, look up Dr. Levy's YouTube talks and also his books, Primal Panacea and Curing the Incurable. But as he says, Primal Panacea, that it seems that the way vitamin C is able to work in so many different ways to enhance different functions in the body generally and specifically is remarkable. And given its safety it's actually one of my sort of dreams one day is that vitamin C in whatever form becomes a mainstream treatment within the health service, that it is understood and used and becomes a standard of care, because it, you know, it's so safe, it's so cheap. There's a lot of really great research out there, and you know, I don't think it takes much to actually do the work to then bring it into mainstream use. I think it's, you know, just willingness and people having access to the information. And initially, I think some of it, so there's a skepticism, is often because it sounds too good to be true, which in some ways is exactly. Part of the weakness is you present this information to people and they go, well, that just... It can't be true. It sounds too. That must be exaggeration.
Yes.
So in some ways, that's a little bit of an obstacle. But again, the wonderful story of Alan Smith, I'm sure you know well, the gentleman that had swine flu in New Zealand, and it changed the law on the use of intravenous vitamin C in New Zealand.
Right.
Have you discussed this before?
I don't think so, actually. I don't think so. Just tell us quickly. We've just about got time.
Okay, so anyone listening, please go on YouTube, put in Alan Smith vitamin C, and it's a 16-minute news story from New Zealand about Alan Smith. He had swine flu. His lungs were filled with infected fluid. He was on life support. His blood was being extracted and oxygenated by an ECMO machine. He was given 1 in a billion chance of surviving. Now, he also had hairy cell leukemia at the same time. Wow. So the doctors gave him one in a billion, not 1 in a million, 1 in a billion chance of surviving.
Yeah.
His sons knew of Dr. Levy's work and they begged them to give him intravenous vitamin C. I think of the 5 doctors or so that were involved, I think sort of 4 of them said, no, what's the point? You know, that's nonsense. One of them said, well, what have we got to lose?
Yeah.
So they gave him, I think it was 100 grams of intravenous vitamin C. He immediately started to recover.
Right.
His lungs started emptying with infected fluid. The hospitals then tried to, after he started to recover, they then tried to reduce the amount of vitamin C or take it away, and he deteriorated. They had to get lawyers involved to force them to give him the vitamin C. Eventually, when he came out of a coma, they gave him liposomal vitamin C.
Yeah.
I think the doctors said he would take 3 months to get out of hospital. He was taking 6 of those a day, I think, and he was out within 2 weeks. Now, at the end of the whole treatment, he also was completely clear of hairy cell leukemia as well.
For good luck.
So not only did he beat 1 in a billion chance of surviving swine flu, he also, and you know, coincidentally at the end of that, no longer had hairy cell leukemia. So I think seeing is believing. So if anyone, I say, go to YouTube, put in Alan Smith vitamin C and watch his story. It's absolutely remarkable. I've met him. He's a lovely man, an amazing character.
Okay, thanks for that. Look, we're going to have to end it. We're out of time, but I just want to quickly take the opportunity to give you my personal thanks for your support of the efforts of Yes to Life in many ways, all of which have benefited people with cancer by making our events more accessible, products more affordable, you know, genuinely brilliant support. So thank you very much indeed for that and for coming on the show today.
Absolute pleasure, Robin. And thank you as well for all you do. It's truly, truly amazing and, you know, real paradigm change that's needed. And, you know, I think what you're doing is you know, really driving this change for everybody. So likewise, thank you very much.
Thank you. Look on the Yes to Life website, and that's yestolife.org.uk, and click the show logo that's on the homepage for links to material mentioned by Jonathan. There are just a few places left as our Retreat and Restore Day at Bhaktivedanta Manor on the 22nd of June. This extremely reasonably priced event will be fun and educational, and Bhaktivedanta Manor itself is a lovely place to visit. So look on the events page of the Yes to Life website or on the Yes to Life Facebook page for full details and booking. And just out are details of this year's Yes to Life Annual International Conference. It's on the 30th of November and the 1st of December, so it's a 2-day event this year with a wealth of inspiring speakers. Look in the news feed on the Yes to Life website or on the Facebook page for more details. Thanks very much for listening today. I'll be back again next week with another guest and another integrative medicine topic. Goodbye.